directing the law and the activity of our social development and the equity of for SATA. Honorable Deputy Minister, I don't know whether you would like to make some opening remarks, or could I hand over directly to the DG for social development? DG, our social development, over to you. I take it that we will do the presentation. After the presentation, honorable members, we will only ask questions then. So we'll first listen and then move to the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, for your invitation to us to come to this committee. This is going to be a session in which the South African Social Security Agency will present its annual report to the committee for the financial year 2008-2009. So as the Department of Social Development, and I'm sure you can see that we have quite a formidable delegation, which is not intended to intimidate the committee, but rather to express our willingness to interact. So the Department of Social Development is here in a dual capacity, one as the department responsible for policy, and our experience has taught us that even though the South African Social Security Agency is focusing on implementation, some of the questions members of the committee may raise may verge on aspects of policy, in which event the department should be able to field those questions. Otherwise, the South African Social Security Agency is well placed to deal with all matters of administration and payment of social assistance. So in that regard, we are here in a dual capacity, in that whilst we are the body that is responsible for policy, we also have a responsibility to exercise oversight over the agency. So in a sense, what the committee will be doing today is part of what we do on a smaller scale in terms of exercising oversight over the agency. So this meeting is as important for the committee as it is important to us as a department. Without much ado, I will hand over to the Acting Chief Executive Officer of SASA to present this. I mean, to give the presentation on the annual report. Mr. Pakade.
Mr. Pakade, before you start, could you please introduce your team, sir?
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, colleagues. I have a team of officials that are accompanying me here. Chairperson, with your permission, I will share the stage with the CFO, who will be dealing with the financial-related matters, which will be part three and part four of the presentation, and then I will do the concluding remarks. I have a number of senior officials from the head office of SASA, mainly the executive managers responsible for various business units, but I also invited two regional executive managers, one from KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape. Chairperson, it probably be easier if I ask them to just introduce their names quickly. I'll start with the CFO, Mr. Mofokeng.
Mofokeng, CFO. I'm Banile Maqethuka, Executive Manager, Grants Administration.
I'm Lubuyo Keyes, the CIO.
I'm Valdita Blanche, the Regional Executive Manager for Western Cape.
I'm Sansan Gendi, REM Taylor. I'm Roger Dobner, General Manager, Strategic Innovation Plan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, I will start by just making introductory remarks. FAFA, as we all know, is a fairly new institution. We have had some successes, and we also had some challenges. So what the presentation will do, if you look at the outline, I'll just give an overview of the agency and its genesis, and then from there we'll look at some of the key achievements for 2008-09 and strategic priorities as outlined in the annual report, and then we'll go straight to the budget and expenditure analysis, and also deal with, after that, with the issues raised in the Auditor General's report. Essentially, they would like to appraise the committee of what action plans we put in place to address some of the shortcomings. Then we will talk about a few challenges and how we're dealing with that and conclude. Well, if we go to slide number 4, Chairperson and Honorable Members, it just reminds us about the FAFA origin. FAFA derives its mandate from the following pieces of legislation. The Constitution of the Republic, Act No. 108 of 1993, which outlines clearly in Section 27 that everyone has the right of access to social security, which includes those who are unable to support themselves to have a right to appropriate social assistance. Again, in the Social Assistance Act of 2004, it states that one of the key objectives of that act is to provide for the administration of social assistance and payment of social grants. Lastly, we're picking a clause from Social South African Social Security Agency Act, which is Act Number 9 of 2004, which states that one of its key objectives is for SAFA to act eventually as the sole agent that will ensure efficient and effective management, administration, and payment of social assistance. Therefore, the strategic intent of SAFA is to ensure the provision of a comprehensive social security service against vulnerability and poverty within the constitutional and legislative framework, as I just outlined, which then leads us to our vision, the vision being to provide a world-class social security service. Then we translate that vision to a mission statement, which reads as follows. It is to administer quality social security services cost-effectively and timely using appropriate best practices. How do we do that? By developing and implementing policies, programs, and procedures for an effective and efficient social grant administration system. Secondly, promoting and protection of human dignity and delivering innovative, cost-effective, efficient services to individuals, their families, and community groups via easy multi-access channels using modern technology. I want to emphasize that, Chair and Honourable Members, that FAFA by its own very nature is driven by people as well as technology, which is some of the two elements that we're striving to excel on. We will touch on those details later on in the presentation. What were the priorities for the 2008-09 financial year? The first priority was the improvement of the quality of service delivery. In so doing, we're looking at the beneficiaries who are at the receiving end, and we are striving to touch on some of the initiatives that are striving to improve both access as well as quality of the services to the people. The second one is the improvement of organizational capacity, which again, as I indicated, largely focus on people as well as technology, as well as improving payment services, which is now X, the code base. The next one is enhancing the integrity of the grant process, which later on we'll talk a lot about our efforts to minimize fraud and also ensuring that we're paying the right social grants to the right person at all times. The next one is improving financial management, which is the issue that the CFO will also dwell more on how, what initiatives we are putting in place to improve financial management and accountability. And lastly, as I indicated, minimization of fraud. There are then core values that guide the agency and its staff. On slide number 9, we outline firstly the confidentiality of information. Secondly is the integrity, fairness, transparency, and equitability. Now, these chairperson and honorable members, you will understand that this is a process. There are quite a few initiatives that we are busy with to try and achieve these values as an entity. We will talk about those later on during the presentation. I've just touched on our theme, which is the paying the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place in Jalo. Well, if we move then now quickly to slide number 12, then we will just briefly outline some of the key achievements for the financial year under review. We have carried over 13 million South Africans that are receiving social assistance benefits. Of that, 9 million are children, both for child support grant as well as foster care and care dependency. We also have 2.9 million of older persons that are receiving old age pensions. And lastly, we have 1.28 million people with disabilities who are receiving disability grants, both temporal as well as permanent disability grants. The number of people receiving grants increased from 12.3 million last year. That gives us 5.2% growth. The largest growth, or the largest numbers of beneficiaries, are in KwaZulu-Natal, and also followed by Eastern Cape, and then Limpopo. We will get to the numbers in detail in the presentation at the back. We also have annexures that will give us the statistics of these numbers we're talking about, broken down by grant type as well as the province. And the lowest number we have is in the Northern Cape. I think we have about 329,000 in total, compared to almost 3 million in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, the next slide just gives a summary of the total for the two financial years that we are comparing. Disability grants it went down from 1.4 to 1.2, largely due to the reviews that we have undertaken. Old age has grown from 2.2 to almost 2.4, which is a 7.2 growth. You see that as well as the CSG are the largest growing numbers. War veterans obviously are going down. We are now sitting at 1.5 in the last financial year. Care dependency grants from 102,000 to 107,000, almost close to 5% growth. Then, as I indicated, CSG is now at 8.7, foster care from 454,000 to 474,000, which is about 4.5% growth. That gives us the total numbers, as I indicated, of 13.026 million. We also have a small amount, a small grant called Grant in Aid, which is about 46,000 people who are receiving currently, a growth of about 23% from 37,000. Then the next slide just summarizes again the social grant expenditure. We will look at the NHR. We have detail of that expenditure broken down. As you can see, since 2003-04, as we have seen the growth in numbers, we have also, in rand terms, we now almost paying 70 billion, grants to the people from 36.9 billion. And as a percentage of GDP, you see the growth there, 2.9% in 2003-04, and it grows to 3.1% in 2004-05, and then 2.2% in 2005-06, and now, 2008-09, sitting at 3.5%. Now, if we move to slide number 15, we're looking at the new policy development that took place in that financial year. We have increased the age. As you know, men used to receive grants at 65 years, and we have been phasing in the increase up to 60 years. So this is the year in which we were taking or registering 63 and 64-year-olds, which in total gave us a number of 106,000 males that were registered. Now, from this year in April, we are now focusing on 61 and 62 years. And then from April next year, we will then be taking on 60 years. So everybody now from 60 years up will be getting a social grant or old age pension, that is for me. We also gradually expanding the CSG, the Child Support Grant. As you know, in the year under review from October, there was a decision taken in the medium term budget policy statement. And we all then, from 1st January 2009, we had to register 14-year-olds who are turning 15 age next birthday into the system. A new decision has just been taken now to extend to 17-year-olds, or rather 16-year-olds turning 17 years. Now, a total of 30.86 applications were received up until 31st March 2009 in terms of that new policy shift. That is now the 3 months between January and March. We also had the changes in the means test, as we know that we have now increased the limit or the threshold, if you like, so that more people can actually benefit from social assistance. The adjustments were made on beneficiaries that were already in the system as well to accommodate for that in SOCBEN. In terms of Regulation 10 as well, which is dealing with 10 subsection 6, which is dealing with the alternative means of identification. We've also implemented that, and we have registered in the system, separated those people so that we monitor them. We took a total number of about 4,000 applications in the system. The other priority we dealt with is actually the improving the quality of service delivery, which also means improving the benefits as well. In this financial year, as you know, we had a challenge in the country of rising prices, both fuel prices and food prices. I would say it was the beginning of the recession that we all understand or know that we are facing as a country or the whole world. We were allocated a budget of 124 million rand for social relief of distress in the main estimate. And in November 2008, there was an adjustment, additional amount of 500 million that was allocated for SRD, which, as we know, is a relief that is given to people who are have no access to any other support or are unable to sustain themselves. So we distributed this grant throughout all the provinces in close relationship, a working relationship with social development. And the total amount of 624 was then available, and by the end of the financial year, we spent about 650 million of that amount. In the annexures, we also give quite a bit of breakdown on the amount spent on the SRD per province. But largely, we achieved the targets, and the assistance was in the form of in three ways. One, food parcels that were distributed. The total of 508,909 food parcels were distributed. In some instances, we used cash vouchers where appropriate. And then we also distributed school uniforms to the kids, the children who are in need from poor households. And a total of 128,746 school uniforms were distributed. In some instances, we also provided cash payments to those recipients who were in need. And we also had other recipients in the total of 32,013. So the total amount of assistance or total amount of beneficiaries here was 765,347. Now, the next priority on improving quality of service delivery, we looked into the grant application process where we standardized the application and review processes throughout the region. We also currently have a turnaround time for processing applications, which was 21 days. And this has now reduced to between 9 and 12 days, depending on the region. But in terms of our improved grant application process, we are targeting a one-day turnaround so that a person comes in the morning and leaves the office with an approved letter of award of the benefit. The services were taken closer to potential beneficiaries, especially to those in the rural areas, through the integrated community registration outreach program. This program is an integrated program that is involving a number of other departments. Mentioning few is Home Affairs. They participate in this. We also, in fact, in many regions, it's driven from the Premier Office. You also have departments like Department of Agriculture, who will also come on board, and then Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. We have registered, in fact, we conducted 500 iCrop outreach programs in all the regions for during that financial year. We also registered over 133,590 beneficiaries in that process, that is new applications for social grants, and 80% of those were child support grants, which makes sense in a way, especially in the first quarter of this year, from January to March, because that was the time we had the the increase to 15 years old. We also implemented the Capital Market Charter, which places beneficiary at the center of our core activities. This charter is very visible in most of our offices in the region, as well as in head offices, which outlines the services that SAFA provides to the people, the how people will access those services, and what recourse they have if they find problems, either being there are things that they are not happy with our service, they are able to know exactly what to do and where to go. So it is quite useful for also guiding our employees in terms of how to conduct themselves and how to do their work. We also developed a code of conduct, a conduct and ethics for SAFA, which was provided to all staff, and protocol guidelines to foster a culture of professionalism within the context of the Constitution. My executive manager for risk management is very passionate about this one, because it's actually about integrity, integrity policy, that we're looking at how people should conduct themselves in terms of ensuring that at all material times we promote the interest of the public, the interest of the organization, as compared or as against the interest of individuals. We also developed a framework, contract and litigation management framework, which is more looking at managing contracts as well as litigation cases. And this has assisted us in reducing the number of litigation cases. If you look at 2006-07, we have 41,505, and in 2008-09, we only had 453. So we actually focusing on addressing the backlog litigation cases. There was also continuous improvement in most local offices and pay points in terms of access and service provision to beneficiaries in line with the Matupile principles. Infrastructure improvement in 27 of the pay points. We developed contract and vendor management strategy, which ensures that we manage our suppliers, especially the key suppliers, the cash payment contractors. And we also standardize the SLA, which is the service level agreement with the cash payment contractors, to ensure uniformity. They are not yet all uniform because we are using different companies, but there are key standardized agreements in those when we renegotiated the contract. We also now monitoring very closely those contracts, ensuring that they comply with the provisions in the SLA. We also implemented a monitoring tool to monitor services by them, which resulted in taking corrective measures in improving the payment of grants. On the payment side, we currently promoting an alternative payment method, which is an electronic payment method, which we believe is more not only cost efficient for SAFA, but also more safer for beneficiaries and more user-friendly, because we have an ultimate goal of paying people their grant at any time, anywhere in the country, and that's the only way that we can do it, so that even if people migrate or move from province to province, they can still be able to get their payment at the right time. So we have 70% of beneficiaries that are currently that have been paid through cash, with the balance of about 30% being paid through the banking system or electronic payment or ACP, whatever people prefer to call it. But SAFA has embarked on this strategy to ensure that we promote the use of electronic payment where infrastructure exists. This is very important because what we are doing, we are monitoring the banking infrastructure. There are banks that are not yet having a visible footprint, in especially in the rural and peri-urban areas. But where it is existing, especially the post office and post banks as well, we encourage people to move to that payment method. We can say that currently already 49.78% of new approved applications preferred to go for banking services than post bank. We also have targeted the young people, especially those who are getting the child support grants, because they are capable, if you like, of moving easily to this method of payment. But we do have challenges. Some people still prefer the old methods of payment, where they want to get cash at pay points. We all know the risks that are linked with the movement of cash or cash in transit, the cash haze. Some instances beneficiaries get affected because they might be short in the process. We are trying to move away from ensuring people are not getting their money in a justified way and in a way that is risky. So that is one of the driving principles behind the new payment model that we are promoting. The other major project that we deal with is the management of the dormant account. And the new proposed payment method will also try and address this, because we want to have a very closer association with the banks themselves in terms of being able to reconcile. Because these dormant accounts derive from people who, who receive money through ACP payments, and in some instances, those people, we find that they passed away, and the money sits in the bank account without being claimed. In some instances, it's overpayments that have been made. These are old accounts. This comes from years back when functioning was still at a provincial level. So we are now, we have been working closely with the FIU as well as the banks. They indicated to us that we cannot collect that money because it's in the private hands now, and they also cannot release it to government, but we must issue subpoenas to them in order for them to be able to assist us. Those were issued in February, and the process is still unfolding. The CFO might give a lot of detail when he's doing his part of the presentation on where the process is now. Mm-hmm. But all banks cooperated. I think we had a bit of challenge with one bank in KZN, Itala Bank, but they are also going to be coming on board. 39 accounts of unclaimed benefits were identified, and over and above that, we also had 250,000 accounts that failed the test when we did a data interrogation test, comparing the details of the beneficiary, both as reflected by the bank as well as reflected in our own software system. Then we find that there are instances where there are discrepancies. You find that the name of the account holder is not the same as the name of the beneficiary. Those accounts we are following up. As I said, the FIU has done an analysis of 39,000 beneficiaries and found that 10% were already deceased. Some beneficiaries had non-identifiable ID documents, and some were listed in CIPRO, which is something we are following up in this exercise. We will be reporting or keeping the committee informed of the progress with regard to this particular project. In terms of enhancing the integrity of the grant process, we're also rolling out ICT infrastructure network to various local offices. We also, although this is not yet online, real-time interface, but we have interfaced with other systems to verify eligibility of our beneficiaries, which is the Home Affairs system, the PESAL, and DEPF. This is where we pick up in some instances that we have public servants who are also receiving grants. We also try to follow up on those. We will give a further report on this when we deal with the SIU-related matters. Yes. The other system that we believe is very efficient, especially in all the regions now, we have rolled out the registry module of the MIS, MIS meaning Management Information System. We are piloting the other module in the Free State, where we also piloting IGAP, which is the improved grant application process, which is assisting us to achieve the one-day turnaround, as I indicated earlier on. We also, we will be rolling it out nationwide as soon as we do have the necessary funding. We have applied to Treasury for additional funding for MIS because we believe it's a system that is going to assist us in improving our application processes. We also implemented the disability management model, which we also want to achieve uniformity throughout all the regions. We standardized disability assessment forms in all the regions, and we also trained medical assessors on the new forms. In total, 88,300 medical reviews were conducted, which is more than 10% target for 2008-09 financial year. We also completed 77% of the backlogs in reviews and achieved 90% reduction in temporary disability grants. In issues of finance and corporate governance, we have a functioning audit committee, which has been very, very effective, I must say, in assisting management on a day-to-day issues of governance. They have our own internal audit function has developed a plan, what we call an internal audit plan that identifies key areas or where the risk might be high, where they need to do regular checks. The reviews conducted included audits that focus on SAFA's core business and other support operations. We also have steering committees that meet with the AG to interact on a regular basis on issues of governance. We also have internal committees, especially we highlighted this because these are key to the corporate governance. The risk management committee, which continuously assess the risk profile of the agency. The financial misconduct board that deals with all cases of possible irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as a new project. This one is more to look into the implementation of the GRAP, which is the Generally Recognized Accounting Practice. It's a new system that has been implemented since April that requires close monitoring. It has teething problems, but there has been work done to correct some of the challenges of the new system. SAFA, in terms of minimizing fraud, SAFA brought about 3,950 fraud cases to court, and of that, 3,605 of those cases were convictions. The people were actually convicted. And over and above those, we also have people who come forward who do not necessarily go through the court process. That's why you have 9,911 suspected fraudsters who signed acknowledgement of debt to the value of 50.2 million in that financial year. We will go to the annexure where we show the detail of all these cases throughout all the financial years. And how much we've collected, and how much has been acknowledged by the debtors. 28 internal audit reviews were also conducted. We developed a risk management framework and risk register. We conducted 25 compliance inspections. The fraud prevention strategy was revised and approved. Regional fraud prevention committees were established to facilitate information and strategy sharing among the stakeholders. The next slide on 29 gives a summary of the budget and expenditure for the agency, which is going to lead us to the next part, which deals with finances. Perhaps at this juncture, Chairperson, I should pause and ask my colleague next to me here to take us through the numbers. What we can, I can just highlight to the committee is that we do have challenges financially. As the committee can see that we have a deficit as at the end of 2008-09 of about 400 million, which we are, in terms of the cash stabilization strategy that we are putting in place, attempting to reduce over the years, over the next 3 years, over the MTF. We have engaged Treasury on this, and they have also given, in principle, their support of the initiatives we are putting in place to turn around the situation. The cash stabilization strategy, the CFO will touch base on the details of it and what we are busy implementing. Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, DG and CEO. Maybe to start first from the expenditure report of last year, we had an overspending, particularly on areas of handling fees, as well as on the areas of computer services, leases and accommodation, and own properties. Those are the areas that we had over. In the year, we had to implement austerity measures in some areas to ensure that we don't actually escalate the overdraft. And the areas that we had to cut communication, we had to reduce on communication, we had to reduce on travel and subsistence, we had to reduce on venues and facilities. And in other areas, consulting services, the CETA, transport, there are quite a lot. If you look at there under other goods and services, you'll see there's a saving of about 236 million. So that covers quite a lot of issues that we had to reduce the cost. Maybe I'll go to slide number 31. In an effort to address the financial challenges, we had to request an overdraft, as the CEO has already alluded, in terms of implementing the turnaround or the cash stabilization strategy, which entails putting further austerity measures in place, also ensuring that we recover the dormant accounts, and promoting the electronic payment. Those are the issues that we currently busy with, and we're working hard to ensure that we deal with them with the overdraft. Treasury has subsequently responded in support of the turnaround or the cash stabilization strategy, as the CEO has alluded, and there's a task team which has been joined by DSD, National Treasury, and ourselves to closely ensure that we see the implementation of the cash stabilization strategy. Just to share with the members on slide number 32, only that slide, what it says is that in the total budget that SASA is administering, which is the 4.6 billion for SASA's admin budget and the social relief, as well as the other money, which makes the total of about 75, 6.7 billion. In terms of SRB, I won't dwell much because already it's been reported that we had initially a budget of 124, which we all know now it went and grew to 624. I'll skip the other slide, move directly to slide number 36, which shows that we had that additional money that was received, and we end up with 624 million, which takes into account the 124 and the 500 which was allocated. In terms of that, two, they're the big money, when you see grant budget as well as SRD, the slide number 37 shows that on the adjusted budget of 71,161, we managed to spend 70 billion, which left us at 445 saving. And the areas of saving are actually on disability grant. There have been some problems with old age, shooting a little bit of 289, as well as care dependency, shooting up with 111. But the child support as well had a saving in foster care. But all in all, we had 445 million saving. The numbers, I won't repeat them because the slide number 38, that has been alluded by our CEO. In terms of the SRD, we end up with a deficit of 51 million when taking into account what was spent as at the 31st of March as well as all the other commitments. So what we are saying that on that one, the rollover was requested and the rollover was fully funded. So Treasury did fund that 52. I won't dwell much. I think this one was just a detail in terms of what the CEO has already alluded, so in terms of targets and what was actually achieved. What did the money buy? Those are the issues that the CEO has already spoken about. So I'll move into the second part four, which is the aid auditor general. And I'll cover two areas. We'll cover the admin budget as well as the grant budget audit. As you are aware that the admin budget, we get an audit opinion immediately, directly, but on the grant, the Department of Social Development that actually gets the report. Based on the auditor general, we have received for the two consecutive years unqualified audit report. Last year it was without matters of emphasis. This year we've got matters of emphasis, which are three areas in terms of asset management, mobile tax, possible fruitless expenditure, as well as the regular expenditure. And on the grant budget, we had matters of emphasis when it comes to grant debtors, as well as SRD procurement and irregular expenditure. We have since developed both the action plans for admin as well as grant budget, and we have now even implemented them. We do have reports on those, and our various committees, they are monitoring them on a monthly basis. On slide number 47, there are a few quite issues raised by the AG, and what we are saying on slide number 48 is to say we've embarked in terms of addressing all the audit findings by the AG. We've embarked on the national wide verification of assets to determine all the duplicate assets and even dummy pay barcoded so that they can be removed from the asset register. Assets without barcodes were labeled and were taken onto the asset register. Incorrect asset descriptions were identified and corrected on the asset register. Assets purchased were labeled and taken onto the asset register. Members must be aware that these assets we're talking about, some of them were assets that were transferred from the previous provincial department to SASA, and some of the assets that we had to buy ourselves. So this exercise is trying to correct the rest. Intangible assets were identified and taken to asset register. Redundant and absolute and missing were identified, and some already been disposed and some are in the process to be disposed. In terms of being in line with the CEO spoke about ERP system, that we are moving away from a cash accounting to an accrual accounting. Already we're starting to be on accrual accounting as from 1st April this year. That means next year our financial report will totally look different from government. It will look in terms of normal sort of private sector way. In terms of preparing ourselves in terms of that, the current asset register, the board is being cleaned and revalued in terms of the useful life and migrated onto the accrual asset register to comply with GRAP standards, general recognized accounting practice. A consultant has been appointed to assist us in some of the migration. Asset registers have been decentralized to regional level so that regions can actually take accountability of making sure that they update their asset registers as and when they acquire assets or dispose assets or maintain assets. Exercise will be completed by the 31st of March 2010. That's when we believe that we'll be completing with the exercise. This covers the issues in a high level, what we believe that we will be able to satisfy the AG and everyone come the end of the financial year with regard to assets. In terms of the fruitless expenditure on mobile trucks, the AG raised concern about the mobile trucks, and at the time of the audit, we agreed that we'll have to do an investigation as SASA. And indeed, we have done the investigation during August and September to determine exact extent of the fruitless expenditure. And we picked up the 10 trucks. They are an expected fruitless expenditure of 1.2 million, which was incurred. And we also determined that there are about 298,000 rand of assets that were lost that could be part and parcel of the trucks themselves. We also agree that in some cases there might not necessarily be a cost benefit when you look at the money we spend for the trucks as well as what we actually, the service that we render. However, it is an important service for us to render. The Financial Misconduct Board will be now making a final decision. The report will be presented to them so that they can make a final decision about who should be held accountable for the fruitless expenditure, the losses that we have incurred. The agency is in the process of reviewing whether maybe we should reduce the number of trucks so that we don't have all of the 40 trucks still operating. And a new bit maintenance bandwidth will also be looked at as the moment the finalization of whether we're reducing or by how much. And we will therefore improve in terms of the contract management. There has been some challenges in terms of that, but now we have found a solution in terms of who takes accountability when the truck actually moves from a particular point A to point B, B to A again. The AG raised as a matter of emphasis that it noted that we have reported 69 million of irregular expenditure, meaning that people did not go through the normal process of supply chain. And in this case, what we are saying is that, yes, this were condoned in 2000. And most of the things happened in 2007 and 8, but they were condoned in 2008 and 9. And we are saying if you compare the fruitless irregular expenditure that happened in 2007 and 8, actually, and compare it to the 2008 and 9, you see that there's a big reduction, meaning that there has been an improvement, even though we're not happy that in those cases we still had issues of irregular expenditure. But I must highlight that this is what we, as the agency, had to identify and report because of good governance. The reasons for the irregularities in most cases were as a result of not getting the quotations, if it's quotation, three quotations, people will go for one quotation, or where people will procure without the authorization of the bid adjudication or acquisition committees. And in some cases, the manager is doing the procuring on their own. And we then pick up at the end when we have to make payment. That's what we have to make payment for. There was no order generated before. So those were the problems that we experienced in the past, which are no more there now. Northwest was the biggest of all of the regions, with the, mostly the areas being the areas of trouble. So they procured the services of an agent, travel agent, without going the normal procurement process. They extended lease agreements without going the normal procurement processes. People decide on their own without having to go and follow the normal processes. We have since addressed this by ensuring that there is a tender which is now running, which is running for the whole of SASA. There are two companies which have been provided the tender for different regions as well as for head office. And end users and officials did not understand in some instances our procurement processes, and in-depth supply chain management training took place during October 2008 and December with cost center managers and SCM practitioners throughout SASA, where processes were outlined in terms of procurement processes and delegation. We standardized the process. The standardized process is now being followed throughout SASA, and disciplinary action is being imposed against any perpetrator. While there's condonement, there are certain people that we say they must get warning, final warning, or disciplinary action taken against them. In terms of the grant budget audit, the social relief of distress, there were issues that were raised by the AG. In terms of addressing that, slide number 56, what we are saying is that SASA is now finalizing the rollout of a voucher system. We are aware that there has been some concern by the AG on the voucher, but those concerns by the AG have been now managed properly, because we felt that the voucher system is far much better than the other systems that we've been using. An expression of interest will be advertised in this regard for the proposal from interested service providers to contract with SASA. This will be applicable in 2010. However, in the interim, we are utilizing the supplier database to obtain quotation from suppliers within the threshold of 500,000. The register is maintained for the issue of beneficiaries. Procurement prescripts are now adhered to. Systems are in place to ensure matching concept of invoice to quotation. So even invoice comes, we need to know what was the process. If there was no process, then definitely steps are taken against perpetrators. Control measures are in place to ensure application forms are duly completed. We don't keep any more stock because we're not just buying and keeping stock at our offices. Control measures are in place to ensure safeguarding of vouchers, which was an issue that the AG raised sharply in its audit report. In terms of the irregular with regards to the social relief, they were irregular. After we have given exemptions for people to comply in certain areas with the quotation, some people didn't. In Eastern Cape, there was about 14,000 where the supplier supplied more than what was required without approval. In the Northern Cape, the pointing system was not fully utilized. That is Northern Cape and Mpumalanga. Those are the areas that we had to deal with those. Now, on the grant debtors audit, there are issues that were raised there, and I'll just touch on what we are doing now. The debt policy has been implemented. The constellation of unallocated receipts is ongoing. Engagement with SIU to follow up on default tax is happening. By September 2000, a total of 49,000 debtors at the value of 113 has been identified for period A. Now, their period A and B is the period which belongs to provincial department, and period C and D belongs to SASA and DSD. There was a plan agreed at the initial concept of taking over the debtors during the establishment of SASA, that SASA will have to give debtors that belong in the old before their time back to the provincial department and only manage the other debtors going forward. So basically what we are saying now, we are in the process of even decentralizing those debtors of period A and B to the provincial department and only remain with the period C and D, which is actually the responsibility of SASA. The process of handover is ongoing as other provincial departments have identified, and the process has been monitored. Margin quotations are being performed. There is a reduction of 16 million in March to 13 million in September has been recorded. That policy being updated by DSD to accommodate the acknowledgement of debt, monthly reports and analysis conducted, and debt processes and processes have been developed and are in place as well as been implemented. And I must announce that we do have a task team between ourselves and DSD, which is managing this process closely on a monthly basis so that we can resolve all the issues raised by the AG. I will then stop there.
SKO, Chairperson, through you. Just want to summarize and conclude. We have outlined to the committee some of the achievements and also looked into some of the finance-related issues. But I think it's important to mention that there are some challenges that we are facing as an agency. Much as the agency is still a newly established entity, it's still undergoing its development phase. There are challenges that we need to deal with in the interim in order to be ready for the consolidation phase, where we'll probably be looking at a diversification of our products. In terms of financial constraints, I think the impact, I think the CFO has outlined the picture. The impact has been on the ICROP, which is the outreach program that we spoke about. We had to, I think the CFO also indicated that ground some of the traps that are used for community registration. We are still working on a plan to retain some of these, which we will be discussing also with our mother department, which is DSD. We have just completed, in the finalization, just for a draft report of the cost-benefit analysis that was done on the trucks throughout all the regions. Basically, we want to look at how many trucks, minimum number we can maintain in order to be ready for the incoming registration campaign that we will have to go and undertake given the new policy shift. We also is investing on the infrastructure acquisition, which also includes office accommodation. We have put up a bid for next year for acquiring what do you call them? Homes, to order to address the issue of infrastructure challenges. However, regions have been undertaking renovations in some of the offices, especially those offices that still have challenges with regard to the standards, which might impact on us, especially the registry offices. We also had a challenge in the filling of posts. We have agreed, management has agreed to identify critical posts in all the regions and our priority, because of the IGAP and other grant improvement initiatives, we are prioritizing grant administration both, especially between level 1 and level 8. We will also look at some of the posts, especially in finance, cashiers, etc., which we believe will be critical that we maintain. But other posts, we had to, as the CFO indicated, impose a moratorium in terms of filling those. We've also been challenged with the sharing of offices with social development at the provincial level. We are looking at delinking. Once we receive the allocation from Treasury, we will prioritize delinking the offices. There are a number of numerous challenges relating to the what we call shared services at that level. We also struggle a bit with the issue of the outreach, as I said, beneficiary awareness programs, full compliance to government prescribed policies and procedures. That one is the challenge that has led to some of the challenges that the CFO outlined. We are determined to put up these policies and ensure compliance thereof. As I indicated earlier on issues of interpreting policy, which deals with a range of issues of financial disclosure, issues of ensuring people are being vetted at all levels, especially those who are holding very sensitive and important functions like supply chain management. FAFA, to align itself to broader role in poverty alleviation, we are looking at it not necessarily as a challenge, but more of as an opportunity as well, because we have just now started engaging more meaningfully in the discussion on the comprehensive social security, and also trying to position FAFA within the context of that debate, which is driven by the department, treasury, and other key departments, including labor and transport. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, the acting CEO, Ms. Kakedi, for the presentation. I don't know, DG, if there's any concluding remarks you want to make. Honourable members, the floor is yours. Question time. Honourable Member Maragola.
Thank you, Chair. I'm having some few questions that I would like to ask. When you're speaking about the child support club, you said because of this year, gradually, now you take the decision that even those child who are having 17, actually I was taught that now we are at the 15 years, but now you said even the child that are having 17, you take the decision that you have to pay those child. And then where did the decision taken, and who are those people who take such decisions? And another thing, you speak about the problem of the community or the people who receive the grant not going to get the grant at the banks and the post office. My question is that, is the community aware or being trained about the bank charges? Because once I think of going to bank or using bank for anything that it comes as an income to me, I know the bank charges are there. So is the community aware that there is no any bank charges or there is any bank charges? I think that things make the community afraid to go to the bank and the post office. Another thing, I'm little bit disappointed about the agency. Lot of the problem in the agency in terms of finances are recovered by the Auditor General. Are recovered by the Auditor General, not anything, even the agency itself doesn't recover their problem. Procurement processes. These things, the agents must deal with their own procurement. Supply chain. You know, you can't just go give the person tender without going accordingly. And I know, but these things, when you the auditor, the CFO, it said everything it was discovered by the Auditor General. Actually, the agents were supposed to discover all of those problems before they take everything to the Auditor General. Really, to me, I don't know the agents that is aware that they are dealing with the taxpayers' money, and they must be take everything care. Is the taxpayers' money that you are dealing with, so you must handle everything correct. Another thing is this thing that has been also mentioned by the Auditor General, this thing of trucks. They said trucks is the fruitless expenditure. Actually, on which member? On which member? It's because the trucks are fully equipped, or because the trucks are many, or because the agency doesn't use the trucks at all. I don't know. I really don't understand. I really need the explanation on that. I thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Member Marcus,
yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first question will be on the disability grant. In the decrease, why the decrease? You spoke to the review, but what other factors influence the decrease in the disability grant? Then I'd like to ask you a question that came through social development, where social development spoke to a policy on social assistance with people with chronic diseases that was developed. It's a policy question. Normally, we normally speak to HIV and AIDS. We have a lot of problems. Because the only time, according to policy, people receive the grant is when it's full blown. So I'd like to know what was SAFA's input. Because if you're part of social development, you're the agency, what was your input into that policy? Then when it comes to litigation, page 10, I think it's page 10, I'd like to know, or we, because I'm ANC, when it comes to your litigation cases, you said it has been reduced from 41,500 from 2006-2007 to 453 in 2008-2009. That is like a big reduction. I think it's not something comma percent. How did you manage that? Because that was good. If you brought it from 41 to 453. Then your dormant accounts. What is the status? Because you're giving us a status here. You know, subpoenas went out, etc. So you're going to speak to the financial year to give us what is the status. And I think what is important is also the age analysis of these dormant accounts. You know, the person knows how far it stretches back. And then my other interest would be, and I think you should think about it, because when it comes to dormant accounts, it's lying in a bank. And there is interest. Are you going to receive the interest to? Did you think about that? Because normally we don't think about it in government because we are not profit making. So the interest there will be important. Then when it comes to your over expenditure 2008-09,
you were... Can you round up, please?
Yes, I'm going to round up.
I'm going to round up. All
right. When it comes to your deficit, I would like to know how did it affect this financial year. And I think we need, and to round up with SRD, we need a full explanation. Because you have a savings of 445 million. You only expended a little bit because you speak about 624. I think we need a full explanation on that. Mm-hmm. Add something on a regular expenditure, but I'll leave it there. Someone else asked the question. I'm sorry, Nick. For the link.
I think we can safely say that members are very much concerned about social security.
And really.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I have got only three questions. First question is on slide number 17, where there are cash payments on target tariffs. It is a grey area to me. Now, how do you differentiate or how do you categorize these two, starting from the payments of the recipients on 136.79 and 32.013? How do you differentiate them? Who are they? Because I see no point why are they differentiated with the other, when you are saying other recipients. That is question number one. Question number two. On slide number 50, you are talking about the mobile units to be reduced, and you are talking about the budgetary principles. If therefore they are reduced, how are you going to reach the right areas? Noting that you say that you are concerned about the accessibility to the community, and yet you are talking about the reduction of the mobile units. That is slide number 50. On slide number 58, on the grand detail of these findings, now that there are these findings, have you have a team now? As you say that there is a need for planning, have you got a team now for planning, monitoring, and evaluating to prevent the recurrence, the reoccurrence of these discrepancies which are there on the slide number 58? I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure my voice will be fine. For questions here, that is important. But firstly, I'm not so thankful for giving us this report. Even if it's tough, but thank you. It's good to say the truth rather than hide it here. Because here, see, if something went wrong, we are here to address it. So, thank you very much. We will speak to this mobile car problem. Because before this report.
Honorable member, could you please switch on your microphone?
Because before this report.
Okay, thank you. Before your report. Already some of the trucks are parked. And when we have been asking from the local offices, from the department, local departments of SASA in the offices there, they are saying it's because of the maintenance. So can you just give clarity in this? Because we believe the program was planned to have these trucks. And they were catered for, even the maintenance. Now, where did the problem lie? Secondly, the information that you are giving us here, are your local offices aware of all these new developments and everything? For instance, your head of the offices in local offices down there to the people,
where people need to get the information. It's always the problem with SASSA that we are complaining that the information dissemination is the problem. So we must all have the information and know what is actually taking place. So is this information you are giving us also there in your offices down there? Mm-hmm. And the official, you know, seemingly, they know about most of the things here. Now you've got this fraud unit, and it's good. We don't understand how does the information get missing in the office, where the people who are working there every day. The National SASSA Department is not there, but there are people in those offices who know, like for instance, we say here, the assets and the receipts and the documents were not found and they are missing in this Auditor General's mm-hmm. report. I would suggest that SASSA must be really, really strict and serious. That vetting that the CEO was talking about, it will be important because you will know that, oh, this company has been awarded this contract because it is owned by the official here in this office. Now, the problem with the park homes, there are park homes around the country. Mm-hmm. I can quote Rusikisiki, College of Education. Mm-hmm. There are park homes for the Department of
Education. Can I ask you a last question, please?
Okay.
Because you've asked quite a bit of this.
All right. But I just want to know. Okay. I want us to double check this issue of park homes because mm-hmm. some are there and they are vandalized. Thank you. I'll come back with other ones.
Honorable Member Fola and then Honorable Member Namula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just about the method of payment. Why SASSA doesn't put in place a standard method of payment? Because in Northwest, people are still getting money. There's someone who's ready money giving it to the person who's supposed to get it. And another thing is about the people who have been getting grants whilst they are waiting for government or whatever. There are still people who have come forward in our places there to say we are working for government, we have been following the department, now let us sign a settlement agreement out of court. But they are still getting those money even though they have made those arrangements. And the last one, Chairperson, is about, I was happy when I hear that the total number of people have been getting food parcels, vouchers. But I was disappointed by the Auditor General's report saying that clearly shows us that these things didn't go to our people very well. So, SASSA, please, can you please assist us? We want those money, we want those things. People are dying outside there. Yeah. Every time when you go home, you get the problems that people are not mm-hmm. getting grants. That is where they are going to the officials. Mm-hmm. That clearly shows that those food parcels are going to the officials. Let us investigate it. Thanks.
Honorable Member Nabula.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I also have such a lot of questions, but I'll be very brief in my questions. While we're on the truck story, I would also like to know, SASSA has been for the past 4 years, and to my knowledge, any business with the will to succeed and the will to perform within 3 years or to really got rid of all the extraordinary challenges. Why is SASSA still faced with so many challenges? Is it because of lack of vacancies being filled? Is it because of corruption that still happens in the department? What is actually the problem then that we still face with such a lot of challenges after 4 years? Office accommodation. We're aware of office accommodation, that it does not work being in partner with social development, and that is actually a major problem, a challenge to SASSA, which we also acknowledged when doing our overview. Why are we still battling here? Filling of critical positions, should that not be a priority? Should that not have been a priority to the department to really be able to deliver quality service to people? And how does SASSA then aim to fast track recruitment of Christoffers? Is there anything in the pipeline? Or what strategies does SASSA have in mind to retain critical skills? The truck story, the 40 trucks of which only 10 is actually operating, was there any survey done, a means test done, if SASSA really needed 40 or needed 10 before purchasing these trucks? Because that was capital tied up. That is definitely not being used, and yet you have to maintain, and it's just standing there. Who bears the cost? Bearing in mind that we have this critical situation in the rural areas where SASSA and many times cannot reach the remote or rural areas. And then my next question is the percentage of the budget spent on paying agents that pay social grants, has that decreased or increased? And can you perhaps elaborate a little bit on them? The breakdown, and you know, I spoke on that. Let me just speak on the breakdown of food parcels, uniforms, and those that received it. Is it possible to get the breakdown on the Western Cape, if possible? And medical assessors have been trained. Have medical assessors been trained for the rural areas too? And how many for the Western Cape? And then on the slide 27, minimizing fraud, has any staff working for SASSA been amongst these deaths? Are any staff of SASSA been, are any of the SASSA staff been amongst these deaths? If so, were they expelled? Were they allowed to work, continue their work, and to pay back in the meantime? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question on monitoring and evaluation, SASSA was meant to conduct a survey or a research to assess the quality of the Social Security Administration system. However, this did not occur. So why this did not occur? That's my question. And number two, SASSA was meant to establish and manage a partnership with private institutions, national, provincial, and local government on Social Security Administration to deliver the service. This also did not occur. Why it didn't occur? The other question, what SASSA is doing to address the lack of human resource capacity in its various programs. The other question, in terms of programs for communication and marketing, what time frame does SASSA have in mind in terms of developing and implementing the stakeholder management strategy? What prevented SASSA from not achieving this targeted previously? And what strategies has it put in place to prevent non-delivery in the new area? My last question might be, in terms of risk management, were compliance inspections implemented in all regions? If not, why not? When does SASSA plan or intend to reach other regions? Those are my questions. I can still ask them.
Honorable Member, I think that was quite a mouthful. I'm sure by now SASSA and PT can see that members are very well averse with what they want to see and what response they need. Honorable Member Swete.
Let me start by saying I'm more in this community in the suffering. Can you stay with me because
the first question, let me start by clarity as a new member. Page 19 is talking about 445 million saving on disability grant. In the layman term, saving means the money which is not used, so or which is not spent on. I don't know what it means by saving. Please, can you let speak to answer not you. Sorry, Chair. That's my worry because my problem, Chair, with the phasing, I know the language of the all the departments. Once they talk about phasing, you become worried. But why is saving money when they're supposed to be used? So I might be wrong. So that's why I said, please bear with me. Then the other one is the acting executive officer, Mr. Pagadi. So I know that there are many actors in our department. You find them acting all the time, and there's always a challenge of the filling of the post, but at the same time, there are many people that are acting. So I know that once you act, you cannot take decisions. Why acting, and how long have you been acting? Then page 19, yeah, page 14 again, Chair. Page 14 is talking about, slide 27, is talking about SASSA brought 3,930 new fraud cases to court and 3,605 accused were convicted. I'm a bit worried, Chair, because it does not tell us when. This statement can be there for 5 years. Every time you come, you can say there are cases found in court, but if you could tell us, yes, these cases were found this time or this year, we'll be able to know, yes, the SASSA is working. Otherwise, this statement is, it can be there for 5 years. You can say, yes, new fraud cases, fraud cases, and accused were convicted. As long as you don't tell us when did you, tell us about the time frame. Chair, before I'm being disciplined by my chair, I don't want to be disciplined by my chair because I'm new here. The last one, Chair, is on tax. I think this one. When you were presenting this, I wanted a blanket because I got shocked. In the first place, let me say my understanding of 5 provinces that are benefiting. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, because the provinces that are counted here are 5. So it means the 10 parts are for 5 provinces. Correct me if I'm wrong, SDG. But my worry is, I'm not going to repeat what the members have already said, because all the other questions are asked. But here, there are no measurable achievements made by these tracks. If you say, yes, we have 10 tracks, but you know that from this much to that much, these tracks have done 1, 2, 3. So it means really it's fruitless expenditure if the departments themselves cannot say these drugs have made strides, achievements, and this is what they've done. This, I don't see measurable, because I don't want achievements that are not measurable. Because you might have achievements that are, if as long as you don't say, within 6 months, these drugs have done 1, 2, 3. Chair, I said I want to be in good relationship with my chair. I'm not going to ask any more questions now. Thank you.
Honorable Member Mulam.
Chairperson, I'll be very short. I'm actually covered by Comrade Pam, but I just wanted to add that Northwest is being singled out by the fraud. We want all the provinces also to be mentioned, so that as members, when we monitor this, we must be able to do that by knowing in this province so many people were arrested and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. I think, members, if you go to the last few pages, you'll see stats per region in terms of litigation issues, and this will also be reflected for the year under review. This is not current. That was in the 31st of March 2009. So I'm sure your figures currently, in terms of fraud, will differ from what you see in this presentation. But coming to the chairperson's questions, I think I share the members' concern around fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The committee, I think, is concerned about the fact that there was a service level agreement with the issue of the truck, but it's clear from the Auditor General that the service level agreement was not adhered to, nor was monitored by SASA, and I think that's a grave oversight. If you look at the issues that the Auditor General raised in terms of asset management, I'm glad for about the response in terms of if you just look at generally first, we start with the Auditor General's issues that he has raised, that you have a decent audit response plan that you've brought to the committee to say this is what the Auditor General said, this is how we this is what we have done, and this is what we're going to do. I think that's good. That's a very good departure. But I think what SASA also needs to do is to say these are the risks that we have. This is how we've covered it. But what are you going to do with your managers that have caused these losses to SASA, that have caused the losses to the state? And I think as a committee, we need to draw SASA's attention to this matter. If you look at your asset managers, I think we're very glad for the fact that you have appointed asset managers per region. But it comes as a bit late. You should have done it a long time ago. The issue of the committee should be informed about who are the provinces that have not handed over proper asset registers to SASA. Those outstanding matters, because provinces have signed service level agreements with the Department of Social Development and SASA at the time. It's about over 5 years down the line. Then you've also developed a code of conduct, which I think is good. But what are you going to do? Are you going to implement that code of conduct only now? Because if you look at the Auditor General's comments and his matters of emphasis, it's quite serious. Because you can have one official that can cause you to have a qualification by in terms of dereliction of duty. So are you seriously looking into that assessment, whether it's in terms of a long-term program, a long-term view process that you're going to have? And then just in terms of, I want to ask you two questions. And I think, members, in terms of the savings, where does that money go to? I think it's also linked in terms of your debt collection, which is not straightforward, which is quite complicated because you also have the issue of rights that are coming into the picture. And you also have to deal with deceased estates. So that makes it quite complicated. But I think where does the savings go to? Let's go back to Treasury as part of revenue collection. I think that's going to be very good for the committee to know. And then over expenditure on social costs that you... if you have over expenditure on social grants, you are supposed to spend in budget. As an agency, you have to stay in budget. Pleasure regulations apply to you, as well as the PSMA. But you're also in the dilemma of not denying any person a private qualifies. So how do you, in terms of your planning and your targets, do you shift your targets all the time to accommodate that, and also not to make sure that you have a huge, if regions doesn't make your targets in a region, Northwest, and say that it is under pressure that you do some shifts, do you do that? And what is the consequence if you say tomorrow that we spend our budget, we can't overspend? What will be the
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm requesting this opportunity because I had to go to the NCOP. I had reported to the Chairperson that I'll report to the I'll have to go to the NCOP. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee and the officials of the department. I just want to say a few things that I feel it's good that members of the committee are raising the issues that they are raising because oversight is their responsibility and we won't be able to do our work if they don't touch these important and critical issues. But also, I want to say that the department is trying very hard to balance and trying very hard to respond to the challenges that we've been facing throughout the country in as far as grants are concerned. Because I think we should all remember that grants have been administered throughout the country in all the provinces. And it was a process to bring that together to one center. And we should really commend the previous minister for the work that he has done together with the officials in ensuring that we have one center. And also the issue of conventions. Much as the Auditor General has commented on some of the issues, there are systems that have been put into place by the department to try and fight corruption or develop a system, a convention that we all have to follow because different provinces were using different ways to try and ensure that they administer a grant in whatever way. So I think we should appreciate that there is an effort towards proper running of the system. I would also like to talk to the issue of the child support grant. The decision about the child support grant, Umakagula is no longer here. Oh, he's here. Mfowethu, lesi sinqumo sathathwa iCabinet. And emva kwaloko kwase kuba ne budget le ekade yenziwa i-medium term expenditure framework ne-appropriation bill eyenziwe last week. La uMinister we-finance a-announce khona ukuthi imali ethize engaphezulu izoya ka-social development. And then i-cabinet yayisiveli sisithathile isinqumo. Ngoba thina sasikade sinikwe umsebenzi wokuthi senze isiqiniseko sokuthi grant iyanyuka from 15 years to 18 years. Kodwa ngesimo sezomnotho esibi esaziyo sonke akwazeki ukuthi kwenzeke ngesikhathi esodwa lokho. Yiko kuhamba ngeminyaka ngeminyaka ngeminyaka. So kuzokwenzeka ukuthi ngonyaka ozayo kuqala iminyaka ethize, ngonyaka olandela loyo kuqala iminyaka ethize. Automatically kuzoze kufike ku-18 years ngendlela okuzokwenzeka ngayo. So into ephuma ku-cabinet. Kodwa isinqumo sona ngoqobo lwaso saphuma ePulukwane ukuthi asishaye kusukela ku-15 years kuya ku-18 years. I thought we should highlight that. The issue of tax. I think we've all raised our frustrations about the tax. And it's fair that we are frustrated about this. But also, I think it's unfair for us to say that we can't measure. Much as there isn't anything that is saying on this year, these are people that registered, or on this month, these are people that registered. But if you see slide 14 is very clear. There's been an increase on the number of the people that are receiving grants. So that in itself shows that we've been able to go out to the rural areas. Now, when we started with this, you can see that around 2003, 2004, the amount was very low for grants. And to me, this says that trusts have done their work. But if I think we need to advance and use new methods if it comes to a push. Because if you want to use a truck continuously, a truck has its challenges. We all know when we run an election campaign. To sustain a truck, you need a technician every day that is going to be able to correct the mistakes, if there are mistakes in the truck, because it doesn't run if it is not monitored on a daily basis. And now we also need to look into the number of the people that are registering presently. Is it still equal to the number that was registering at the beginning? And I'm not saying that a truck should not be there, but I'm saying much as we want to maintain trucks, we need to look at other methods that are more viable than the trucks. The IT is improving presently. Can't we ensure that we have an IT system that is going to be cheaper than the truck? I think those are the issues that we have to look into so that we can be able to have a system that is going to be sustainable and that, a system that is going to be sustainable. Right now, the trucks are not sustainable. They are too much demanding. On the issue, the last issue that I want to talk to is the issue of the disabled. I think we all know that we have had a challenge of defining what a disability is and what disability means. So I think that in itself resulted in us having more money because we don't have one definition of disability. At some stage, there was an argument. Other people were saying if you have sugar diabetes or if you have high blood pressure or if you are HIV positive, you are also disabled. Or there's been a problem about the blind and the deaf in terms of the definition or in terms of being able to identify their disability. And this matter has been through cabinet. There is a definition that has been established, which is, and that definition is trying to ensure that the people that are disabled are covered. But also, members of parliament reported in one of the meetings that also in terms of disability, you have in an area you have to go, you have to be referred by a certain official to be able to get a disability grant approval from a doctor. And those are other challenges that the department has been seized with in trying to solve the problems and the challenges that we have been facing. Thank you very much, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister, for your comments. Can we now get the response?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and Honourable Members. Special appreciation to the Deputy Minister. I think he saved the day on some of the strategic issues that I have to deal with. Chair, I also want to thank the members for the input that we received today. Surely, a number of matters raised, much as we respond, it does point to the issues also that we picked up, but to add, to say, we will definitely in our plan accommodate the concerns of the committee to ensure that this time around next year, we should not be dealing with the same issues again.
Chairperson, I think from Honorable Member Makakula's issues, only two that perhaps I should just revisit. One relates to the issues of migration. The discussions around electronic payment are not starting now. There have been ongoing engagements. In fact, there has been discussion with the Banking Council. At some point, Treasury was on board. And part of the reason why some of the, from our side, we decided to a little bit stall, there was this whole issue of introduction of Mzansi account, and people had free services, or should I say, withdrawal and services from the banks. We are busy now engaging in the discussion in the proposed document on how we are going to manage going forward the relationship between ourselves, the banks, and including the post office. We are mindful, in fact, in our one of our priority objectives, we indicated that we want to minimize the burden from the beneficiary, whether it's about the actual withdrawal of money or how the beneficiary accessed that money. There was also an issue that you raised around the AG picking up issues. Well, maybe if I can just put on my other cap of being a financial manager myself, I can tell you that in most of the time, the Auditor General will get the information from the auditee, which is the client, in different ways. We usually pick up these issues. If I give you an example, irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure. The PFMA requires that you must, once you pick it up, you put it in a register and you manage it going forward, which is why we established the Financial Misconduct Board as well. So most of the issues are not necessarily picked by the Auditor General, but we inform the Auditor General. But unfortunately or fortunately, they have a duty to report on those matters if they believe they are significant or could result in a significant impact on the organization. I think the Deputy Minister covered a lot around trust. Just one little addition from my side is to say that when the decision was taken to the committee, will recall, to procure this trust, there was a dire need of registering a number of children. We were at that stage rolling the child support grant from 8 years, 9 years, right up to 14. And there were consideration of the condition of the roads in certain rural areas, especially the rural provinces. Now, what we are saying is that we're not at this stage, because we will consult with the minister. We have not taken the decision to do away with the trust. But we are saying we need to do a cost-benefit analysis, do an assessment and analysis of the demand for the trust. We know it is very useful for communities to see this trust reaching their areas, especially when we have invisos and iCrop initiatives. However, to dispatch a truck to travel 160 kilometers round trip, only to come back having registered less than 10 people, it doesn't make economic sense. Well, hence, we are saying we are reevaluating the need in terms of the number in each province that we need to have, taking into consideration the cost of maintaining this trust. It might as well be that honorable members feel we should have accommodated this in the plan. Yes. During the planning phase, there was an understanding of the need and the demand. But obviously, over time, even beyond the extension to 18 years, the demand for this truck might decline, as well as we expand our local office infrastructure at local level. There was a question about the disability grants. I will probably refer some of these questions to my colleagues. Mr. Matletuka, you probably assist me on the decline of the disability grant quickly. Other than the reviews, I think they said, what other reason for the decline?
Okay. Thank you, Acting CEO. My input will be to say that in the past, were not expiring temporary disability grants that were due to expire. Now we're doing it on a regular basis, hence the numbers are coming down. Also, we have trained doctors to understand what constitutes a disability. If you remember, in the past we had 9 administrations which were dealing with the same subject matter. They were dealing with it differently. Now that we're standardizing our processes, we have one way of dealing with disability issues. Hence, we are consistent and numbers are coming down. That is one of the reasons.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson, there was a question on the chronic illnesses. I'm very happy to know that the department is here who can assist us on that question. Indeed, we work with the department because there was a question on our inputs in terms of any new policy initiatives that have anything to do with social assistance. But as far as we know, this matter was a priority of the then social cluster, which is still pursued by the various departments that are involved, including health, relating to not only HIV and AIDS related cases, but all illnesses that are classified to be chronic illnesses. But I will probably ask the DG to dwell much later on that. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll give Mr. Akolotti the opportunity to respond to this, and I will augment it should it be necessary.
Thanks, Chair.
The issue on chronic illness is an issue that the department has been looking at. In fact, we were requested as the department to develop policy options in terms of how you deal with people with chronic illnesses. You'll remember the minister just made an indication now that cabinet has approved a common definition of disability, and that common definition of disability will exclude a number of people with chronic illnesses. This issue was presented to the Social Transformation Committee of the ANC. In fact, we presented policy options to say perhaps what we may need is a different type of a grant for chronically ill people, a chronic illness grant, or an option of food vouchers which will be provided by the Department of Health and so on. And the view from the Social Transformation Committee was that this matter should ideally be handled by the Department of Health, not as a grant. And it was also presented to the Social Protection and Community Development Cluster, which the DG chairs, and that committee also referred that matter to the Integrated Food Nutrition Task Team, which will then develop options which will be presented to cabinet very soon. Thank you
very much, honorable members. The next question was on litigation. I'm happy that it has gone down myself. We have struggled with litigation over years, but there is on the annexures a table, a couple of things from slide number 6. Slide number 67, 69, and if you look at that detail, I hope all of you remember to have that answer. If you look at that, it clearly says to us we are getting less and less litigation cases. There was a lot of these in KZN and Eastern Cape, as you can see in the table. But what is shown as 453 is still pending cases from those that we identified. But even if you look at what has been these cases for the financial year under review,
it has significantly gone down. In 2006-07, for instance, there were 39,539 in KZN, and we only finalized in 2008-09-11, which is a huge or significant reduction. And only four matters have been withdrawn. And in terms of financial implications as well, it has been a significant decrease. I'm aware that part of these problems in the past, before SASSA was established, was around the issue of response by the government from initial complaints and initial letters of demand from attorneys, and if we don't attend to that, the matter ends up in court. Now, in terms of the new strategy that I spoke about, that is one of the key things that are tackling. Head office in working closely with the regional offices, especially the units, the legal services units, they make sure that these cases are attended to. We work very closely also with Mayor Maluka on the issues of appeals and other cases. So there has been quite significant focus on addressing these matters. But it might as well be that we are not taken to court as frequently as we used to. And part of that is probably the issues I raised earlier. Because most of these were around delays in approval of grants of people. Now, if we have, most of the regions have this one-day turnaround, and with the IGAP, we are actually sure that we're going to improve on that. So we're hoping that we're going to prevent the cases from coming on going forward. The domain accounts have been dealt with, if I remember well, by the chairperson. Thank you, chairperson, on that. We just want to say that the this money is not going to come necessarily to SASSA, because it must go to the fiscal once we collect it. And in some instances, the provincial revenue funds are claiming because of the period. I think the CFO spoke about period A, B, C, and D. So we're working on that, as well as the deceased estate, which probably has a claim in some of that. But surely interest will be calculated so that we can collect the correct amount. The banks do calculate interest on an ongoing basis. The deficit that we're talking about, in fact, let me just say the deficit, there's two things. There's a saving of 445 million. I want to clarify this. This is the money that's not spent on grants. Now, social grants, as you know, there are different types, from old age pension to disability to child support. Anywhere in the world, you only rely on focus and projections when you have to budget for social assistance. Because even if you look at the fertility rates, the mortality rates, you can't for sure know how many people will die in a particular financial year or how many children will be born. You will probably make estimates based on whatever demographic data that you have. Then once you do that, you can be able to say, I expect so many children to be born who might then register for social grants. So, for 70 billion rand, and you only save, or I'll use the word unspend or save, 444, it's quite good, accurate projection, because you actually spend the bulk of that amount. This money record is placed to those grants, because I could hear some of the members were conflating it with the SRP. The SRP, the amount that was not spent was 52 million, which then we asked for a rollover that was given by Treasury to actually deal with commitments that were also not paid off. But most of those things were commitments, just that maybe the supplier is not yet paid and so on, so that we paid them in the new financial year. The target for SRB, who are the recipients and so on, there was also a request that I made for a more detailed presentation. But it depends to what level you can give detail in a meeting like this. But there are records that can, region by region or province by province, where we can give a split of how many people benefited. In fact, we even can tell from which area in the province, if it's Tabankulu in the Eastern Cape or whichever area, we can actually tell that so many beneficiaries in that area. I think I've covered a lot because there were a couple of questions around the trust. The one important question was the what measures are put in place to prevent the recurrence of the discrepancies that were picked by the that were picked during the audit period. There's a number of initiatives, as we indicated. One of the things that made us to go to Minmec and ask for the support for a different model of distributing SRP, for instance, is that some of these things require good systems. And a program of that nature is always fraught with problems because first and foremost is manual work, loading and offloading of goods, identifying beneficiaries. So we are looking at a more better way of providing social relief of distress. But the ultimate decision will be taken once DSD has finalized the policy going forward. But in the meantime, we are promoting the use of vouchers, which is a better way. It's more safer than cash, but it's even more or less problematic than food parcel distribution. We have a report that outlines all the advantages and disadvantages of each of these payment methods. When it comes to other areas like asset management, we are implementing the board system is there. The need now is to train people on the system and also enforce accountability because every asset that gets bought, it must be barcoded, it must be entered into the asset register, it must be accounted for at all times by the custodian of that asset. So that is the process that we are busy with. The training has been done, is underway, and the new system, financial management system that we are implementing, forces actually people to account and now on an accrual basis, which means every month you have to take stock of your assets and liabilities into your financial statement. It's not going to be the way we have been doing like in government where we are using cash basis of accounting and we only just pay and we don't take care of reporting on the balance sheet items. Most of the time we report on the financial, on the income statement issues, which is revenue and expenditure. There was a question on the, I didn't get it clearly, the missing information, but I know there was also comment related to that about possible officials who are doing business with the agency, who are also employed by the agency. There are initiatives that are being put in place, one of which is the integrity policy that I spoke about, but also we are looking at securing, putting more internal control measures, essentially, on the information, the custody of especially payment vouchers and stuff, and also ensuring that people will take accountability for those that get missing. Much as you cannot at all times prevent this from happening, but you must be able to detect it immediately because of your system. That's basically the CFO can maybe expand on that. I've touched on the SRP. All right. There was a question, Honourable Member Lamula, on the challenges around critical post. We have recently taken a resolution at Manco to identify in each region all the critical posts. We have challenges with regards to funding, as I indicated earlier on. But what we have agreed is that grant administration-related posts should be prioritized, but also regions, upon proper motivation, that motivation gets screened by a screening committee that is consisting of very senior members of management who will then take the decision for the filling. But we are looking at the entire review of I guess you are the one who said we have now 3 years. We should at least by now be able to say we have at least passed all these hurdles that we're still grappling with. But the complexity of the organization requires us to do a review at some point, which the department, through the minister's office, have approved that we go through a business process re-engineering or review. That is going to assist us to look into whether we are configured in the way in which it supports our strategic intent and strategic goals as BASA. And this is going to be a very important exercise, especially in dealing with a number of issues here. Organizational related matters, in terms of structures, in terms of people, in terms of processes, etc. Even systems, because we are looking at the current systems that we are rolling out and also how can we improve. There are plans to improve or to enhance software as well. But these things need money. We sit with Treasury and they will tell us that, look, we are in a financial recess. We must still complete Gautrain. We must still complete other priorities of government. We are still looking for 14.6 billion for salary adjustment. So there are other competing demands, which also we are aware of and mindful of. But I think at the end of the day, as I indicated earlier on, you will need a lot of investment in order to get the right outcome, which is why even with this new payment model, we are trying to cost it up. We're looking for the best way of achieving it without incurring a lot of expenditure. For instance, the bulk of the cost was relating to a re-enrollment of beneficiaries. We say we can actually utilize data that is already available to government through the HANI system, because you find the biometric data of people, all the fingerprints are there. So we are going to migrate that data and also the data that is currently sitting with this payment contractor, because that really is our own data. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel. So we are going to cut a lot of costs in terms of that. The handling fee has gone down. There was a question on the how much we're paying in this. With the renewal of the contract, there was a significant renegotiation of terms, and we have cut costs quite significantly. In fact, the CFO probably can have fingers on it. The budget was about 3 billion, and we're now projecting about 2.6 billion that we will spend on handling fee because of that renegotiating of terms. But it's not yet perfect. We want to cut it further down. We believe we can still save something like another 1.8 billion if we implement the new strategy. So I hope the honourable member will accept the breakdown of the Western Cape food parcel case, that information before it is at a later stage. It is suspected among the states of those who are found to be defrauding the system. Yes, they are. In many instances, those officials have been disciplined, and some were dismissed, and some were warned, given final warnings. Depending on the mitigating circumstances, the action definitely has been taken against those. I must confess, questions from Honourable Member Kubano were very fast, and but I think it was more to do with some of the gaps in terms of achieving the targets, especially around the strategy relating to institutional reform and so on. In a way, I did touch on this. I think the choice that I had to make was whether we pursue that given the current financial situation, or try and strengthen service delivery related priorities. This is the area where we are going to start, because it links to the payment model, it links to the ITTT processes. In the next financial year, we are going to be more focusing on integrating our work with the work of rest of government, so that we can position the agency in terms of the
purpose for which it was in fact established. It was one of the objectives very clearly said we should be able to administer social security schemes in the country. Currently the focus is on social assistance, but moving forward we are looking at the long-term vision for FASA. These were many questions, Chairperson. I hope I'm trying my best to move faster. The one that is easy, very easy for me was when I was appointed acting and why am I acting? I will just say the easy one. I was appointed on the 17th of July this year. So I'm almost 3 months in the agency. Why I was appointed, my DG will assist me on that one.
The acting CEO was appointed into that position because the chief executive officer of SASA has been put on special leave for a period of 4 months, which means that Mr. Pakare's acting term will end in a month's time.
I'm almost done. The last one was more on the platform. Maybe you can talk about the platform. The measurable objectives of the trust, I think we've spoken about the trust again. I indicated in my presentation that we are busy with a cost-benefit analysis of these trusts. The objective is not to really ground them or tell or eliminate the services of these trusts. We are assessing whether we are optimally utilizing these trusts in all the regions. I said, Honourable Member, we have to do this, as I indicated, whether then 3 years back, the demand was so high, but now we are looking at how to extract efficiency, basically. I don't think Gauteng requires 4 trusts, for instance, in my view. I don't know Western Cape also might not need as many as what Limpopo and KZN might need. But we have to do this exercise so that we actually... Yeah, Eastern Cape definitely is.
Is it a follow-up? Because actually the rounds were completed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're running out of time. I'm only going to allow yourself on the minute.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm covered. But I just have one question. The question is, much as that most of the staff were disciplined and the others were dismissed, was the money that they defrauded recovered? Thank you.
These are two-pronged processes. You take action. In some instances, as you know, we take criminal charges or we institute criminal charges. But all of them, they have to repay. That's why they're finding acknowledgement of debt. Those are, in fact, most of the fraud cases are more of those that the FIU is handling. But in some instances, people do come forward and ask to repay. Then they sign an acknowledgement so they don't go through the court. Because even if they still go through the court, they ultimately get to repay the amount. Yeah, I think that's... I would ask maybe my madam to assist with that allegations that there might be people who are still working for SASA or getting grants.
The allegation is that there are people who have signed acknowledgement of debt, but are still receiving grants, despite the fact that they have declared that they are no longer eligible
Thank you, Chair. We are really not aware of any people who are paying back the money that was defrauded to SASSA who are still getting grants, because as far as we know, we normally get the CD with all the names of the people who've been convicted or who have signed acknowledgement of debt from the SIU, and we use that information to suspend the grants on the system. So if the members are aware of anybody, can they please forward the information to us, because it will really help us to check, because beneficiary maintenance has been doing this kind of work to terminate the grants from the system. Thank you.
Now, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Deputy Minister in the absence for attending this meeting, as well as the Director General of the Department of Social Development and the acting CEO of the South African Social Security Agency and his team. Thank you very much. I think we can say congratulations on an unqualified report, but the committee will finalize the report to Parliament at a later date. Today was the briefing session, and we will then, I'm sure, through the Minister's Office, inform you when that report will be tabled. If there's any outstanding questions, we will be forwarding it to your office through the Parliamentary Liaison Office. But thank you very much for your responses. I think it was a good presentation. But I'm sure you are also very much aware of the concerns that have been expressed by the Portfolio Committee members, DG and CEO. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Just before the members go, did the members of the committee just stay behind? We'll excuse the two teams.
Thank you, honourable members. I've got a few housekeeping announcements I just want to make. I'm going to write a letter to the committee section and to the House Chairperson for bigger venues for us. Because this is a big committee.
Mm-hmm.
Our stakeholders are varied. Mm-hmm. We have four entities reporting to us. So you have you've got one entity that has a 76 billion rand budget. So you have a big entourage. And then you also have your oversight, your stakeholders and so on coming. And it looks very untidy, but also in terms of logistics. And you can't just say the DG and the CEO must come and then leave them out. But you also need to have good seating for members of Parliament.
I'm going to write a letter to the House Chairperson on this matter, and also to, so that we can get bigger venues.
It's happening too often with mandatory that we need.
And also, ICT is not up to standard. This can't be happening. And they have to do the maintenance of these issues. So you can't have plugs not working to a department that comes to the radio station. And the other issue is, what's this? Excuse me. Can you just come inside? Just close the door. The committee assistants that you see, sometimes you'll see a gentleman, sometimes you'll see a lady. The committee assistants are there to see that the work of the committee from the start to the end is running smoothly. Members, you can't send the committee assistants away from the venue. They can't go to your office to go and pick up things. You can't send them away from the venue. They are here to see that if there is a problem, they must pick it up and do it, because the committee secretary can't leave the meeting. The committee assistant can't leave the venue of the meeting. Okay? So can you please just adhere to that? So those are the issues that I wanted to raise, that we should just sort out. We've got some DVDs to start off with the annual report. Okay, thank you very much, members. I'm sorry there's no lunch, because you know it is very scrappy budget. Is it still in the pipeline? Okay, but I'll follow it up with our shippers. I'll go into the next team chamber today and then intimidate.
Thank you. you are doing it. And then you can stop. And then he is selling a vehicle in the car, but because of it. And then when he says 50, the grant is for him to call Anwar. And then he took him out. So the
that's unfortunate. But I think it's unfortunate.